many of you guys sang a song that had the words, "Jesus, we turn our eyes to you today"? How many of you guys saw that we were singing that song? Okay. We definitely sang it, some of us. Just checking to see how awake everybody is. Maybe you guys are just too honest. Goodness. I think I saw everybody in front of the rows turn their eyes up to this table when I poured this candy out. There's even more in this bag here. And, wow, pretty interesting to you guys, isn't it? Well, if you have a Bible, actually, before we turn there, not going to quite turn there yet, so that we don't get ahead of ourselves. If I told you guys that you could have a piece of candy, that you could only have it if you did something, but I wasn't going to tell you what you have to do in order to get that piece of candy, how many of you guys would be willing to do it? Are you sure? Are you sure? Anything? I can tell you to do anything and you're willing to do it for a piece of candy? You trust me? What if I told you to jump off a cliff? Would you do that for a piece of candy?
Yeah. Yeah. Let's get water. How tall is the cliff?
Tall enough. All right, you're willing to do anything that I say for a piece of candy. Come up here and stand in line. One line. Okay, no, go to the back of the line. Go to the back of the line. You guys over here, go to the back of the line. No, Denim, you can stay here. You were one of the first ones up here. No, go to the... Eric, Abel, you go back by Logan, okay? Erica, you stand right here by Audrey. All right. It's actually going to be pretty easy. You guys change your mind, you can still come up. The only thing that you have to do is give me a high five in front of everybody. Okay? So if you other kids want to do it, you can still come up, but you have to go to the back of the line. Ready? High five. That's it. Five. Okay, good. Got everybody? Just a couple more. Still one more. Have to come off. Have to be willing to. In front of everybody. Okay. I get to pick for you. There's two more rules. I get to pick for you. And as soon as I give it to you, you have to go give it to your parents or whoever is in charge of you for safekeeping.
I don't know where my parents
are. You can't eat it now or open it. Well, I think you'll be able to figure that one out. Okay? So, let's see. I'm sure that a lot of you probably want the bigger ones, huh? Some of you are going to get bigger ones, and some of you are going to get smaller ones. Maybe you think that's not fair, but that's too bad.
Okay?
Some of you are going to get smaller ones, and some of you are going to get bigger ones. But I'll tell you that these smaller ones are some of the best ones. All right, we're going to go with you're going to get whatever you get.
Don't
give you
the garbage.
Give you that one. We're going to give you that one. We're going to give you that one. You can have that one. There, you can have that one. And James, you can have that one. And James, Go give it to your parents. There's one for you, one for you, one for you. One for you. One for you. One for you. Go get it. Remember to go give it to your parents if you didn't already. Everybody get one? Alright, take your seats. Everybody get one? Alright, one more thing. Whoever sits the most still gets the rest of these. There's like 15 or 20 more, including chocolate. So, whoever sits the most still and quiet and best listener gets this whole bag of candy with their parents' permission. Okay? So, be careful, little hands, what you do. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little mouths, what you say. The Father above is looking down in love, and Mr. Nate is watching. So are all parents. Might have to get a second opinion before I decide after we close in prayer. But today we're going to talk about something from the Bible. Raise your Bibles up if you have them. And if you don't have them, you better be extra super good listeners, okay? Even if you do have them. We're going to read and listen. So turn to the book of Luke. Luke is in the New Testament, so kind of towards the end, beginning of the New Testament, but about three-fourths of the way through your Bible. We're going to go to Luke chapter 17, and we're going to read a story. Luke chapter 17. I noticed that you guys turned your eyes to the candy even more than you turned your eyes to the screen or Bible when we opened it. But we all, at least almost all of us, sang the song, "Jesus, I turn my eyes to you." That's a good place to put our eyes, isn't it? Even better than this kind of stuff. Even when I made that sound, everybody's eyes suddenly turned. Kind of like magic. But what's more important? This book makes a similar sound, if you wanted to. Or candy. Okay, Luke 17 is a story with Jesus and his disciples and some other people. Okay? When I'm done, I'm going to ask whoever is the youngest person to raise their hand, I'm going to ask, who are those other people? Jesus, his disciples, and some other people. So we're going to read these verses, and then I'm going to ask you guys to tell me, okay? See how much I can connect with the youngest people here. Luke 17, verse 1. Then he said to the disciples, "It is impossible that no offense should come." I'm sorry. Verse 11. Luke 17, verse 11. Now it happened, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." So it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned with a loud voice, glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to them, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you what?" All right, raise your hand if you know The story is about Jesus and his disciples and who? Isabella.
Well, the disciples, so Jesus burned the grass, he set it down, and yeah, he died. Yeah.
That's a good statement, but that's not quite the answer I'm looking for. Good try. Anybody else? I'm looking for young people, especially. Who's older, Ian or Max?
No,
Ian's older. Or Elise. I don't even know. Max is older, you said?
Ian's older.
Ian's older. Okay, Max, what do you think? Who was it about? Okay, Max is still thinking. Anybody? Ian, who is it?
Like, well, the little boy, well, Jesus shared the little boy's lunch with.
Yeah, that's a different story. Good answer. I can tell you've been reading your Bible. Lucas. Yes, how many?
Two.
No, not two. You were right about the lepers. How many? Elise.
Three. Ten?
There was more than three. Who said ten? That is correct, but I didn't call on you, but that's okay, because that's a good answer. So, there were lepers, so Lucas got part of it, and Ian got part of it. Good job, you guys. And I know a lot of you probably knew the answer, right? Raise your hand if you knew the answer. Raise your hand if you know the answer now. Hopefully everybody. Okay, I'll tell you the answer. The answer was 10 lepers. So, what's the story about Jesus, his disciples, and someone else? Who knows who else? 10 lepers. Raise your hand if you heard that.
10 lepers.
Okay, we got almost 100% participation. We'll go with that. So, 10 lepers. Who knows what a leper is? That's an important question. We read a little bit here. Oop, there's a gross picture. There's a picture of what we read about. The first picture. Who knows what a leper is? Nolan, what's a leper?
Kind of like a cheetah.
That's a leper. Good answer. Good answer. But what's a leper without the D at the end? I'm going to go with Max this time. You know what a leper is, Max?
A sheep.
A sheep? No. Not sure. Not what we're talking about. But sometimes they might have wore sheepskins. Logan?
Leprosy.
But what's leprosy? You're right. Who knows? No, nope, raise your hand if you know. Okay, I'm going to go with somebody a little bit older. Denim.
It's someone that is blind or can't walk or is sick or something.
Yeah. The last part is very true. Yep. Sometimes they might have been blind and sometimes they definitely couldn't walk. Those might be true sometimes. But the last part that you said is that they were very sick or something. Right? That is very accurate. So who can tell me a little bit more that we didn't already hear? Ethan.
Leprosy.
Yeah, what does that mean? You know what that sickness is?
Back then it was a very incurable disease, and it was basically just leprosy.
Okay, that's you definitely gave us some more information about it. That's good. Yeah. Yep. There's actually a lot of reading. I did a little bit of reading and learned some things myself this week on leprosy that I didn't already know. There's a lot of stuff that you can read about leprosy. But one thing that we do know is that the Bible, I think it's 55 or so times that the Bible talks about leprosy. Do you know that? And it talks about it in the Old Testament, some of the earliest chapters of the ancient scriptures that were written down many, many, many hundreds of years ago. And there were people that had this deadly disease. That's one of the things to remember today, is that leprosy is a deadly disease. That means that usually people would die from it. Okay? There are lots of things that we can read about leprosy in the ancient times and in the modern day. This is a somewhat modern picture. This is not from Bible time because they couldn't take pictures back then. What? Although there's lots of people that think they know what leprosy looks like, and so they've drawn pictures of it. In this picture, they made them all covered with clothes because they thought that would help to not spread the sickness. But here's a real picture of somebody who has, it's called, in the modern day, it's called Hansen's disease.
What is he putting on him?
He's treating a wound with antiseptic because not only is Hansen's disease likely one form of what they call leprosy in the Bible.
Is that moving our bones?
Yeah, just listen right now, okay? Erica, then you can ask questions when we're done or raise your hand. And so leprosy was a disease that not only caused, like what Ethan was saying, it could cause your fingers and legs to eventually fall off, and it was a skin disease, but it was much more than that. It actually attacks the nervous system as well. And there's some speculation about, and maybe more than speculation, about how what the Bible talked about was broader, different types of skin diseases, but certainly some overlap with what we call today Hansen's disease, especially in the New Testament. Some leprosy patients have had their fingers eaten by rats. This is kind of in small print here, but they had their fingers eaten by rats because when the leprosy attacked their nervous system, they couldn't feel pain normally. And so they actually had even worse things happen to them because pain was not communicating with their bodies that they had these things going on. And they were completely unaware of things happening. And so this comes from answersingenesis.org, but studying leprosy helps us to see why pain can be a valuable gift, too. But leprosy, like other sicknesses, can sometimes be, they can cause death. Maybe some of you know cancer. Cancer is another disease that spreads, and it gets worse and worse until people often die. Leprosy was like that too. It would spread. In fact, leprosy would spread from person to person. That means if I had leprosy and I came closer and closer to you, you might want to run away from me. Or you might, in some cases, you know what they did? They went down and they picked up big rocks. And if they saw somebody with leprosy, they would say, "Leper!" And they would take the rocks and throw them at the person until they would no longer be alive. They would actually make them run away, make them go outside of the city. They would make them go away because they did not want to get leprosy. If I came close to you with leprosy, then you might get it too. So you did not want me to come close to you if I had leprosy, did you? Or do you? Well, that's the way it was. And when people, in fact, they called it the sickness or the disease of shunning. The disease that shuns is actually what the article is that I was reading. Very interesting. I put the website up there if you want to learn more about it. There's a lot to learn, but one thing that we do know is that in the Bible, leprosy is a picture. The Bible doesn't have pictures that are illustrations, unless you're reading from a Bible storybook where an artist painted something and imagined what it might have looked like. But the Bible does have pictures. It has pictures in word form. And leprosy is a picture to us. Leprosy gives us a picture of something else in the Bible. What is it that leprosy is a picture of? James. You're going to say something different? Okay, hold that until when we're done. If somebody else has an answer to that question, what is leprosy a picture of? What does it remind us of? Here. You are right. Yes. Leprosy is a terrible disease and it kills people. Sin is also a deadly, terrible disease, and it kills people. Not physically as much. Sometimes it does physically, but sin kills people spiritually. It separates us from God.
You think that sin is lazy, and then you'll live better
and have
to kill. Like a robber, like it's killed.
Yep. Yep, that's a good thought. Raise your hand if you have a thought. So my memory of sickness when I was a kid was I had lots of sicknesses, and pretty much all my sicknesses got better. I never had leprosy, and I never had cancer, as far as I know. Sometimes people can even make cancer go away. But leprosy, there's two things about it. It was a deadly disease, and it was an incurable disease. No other man besides Jesus could heal leprosy. Sin is like that too. No other man can heal the disease of sin except for the Lord. Well, in this story, we read it. Jesus and his disciples, let's go back to the text, it said, they entered this village and there met him not just one, but one person. When they would see a leper, they would yell out, "Leper!" And they would throw rocks at him and they would say, "Go outside the city, go away, you can't come near us, because if you do, you will contaminate the rest of us." But there was not just one, but there was 10 men who were lepers, and it says they stood afar off. That's good, right? They didn't want them to come. The disciples probably didn't want them to come close. But they lifted up their voices and they said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Now these men, they were desperate. They had a very bad sickness, right? So because they said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us," what did they have to believe in order to say that? What had to be true in order for them to say, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us"? Jude, what do you think?
Faith. They had to have faith.
That's right. They had to believe something. Maybe they had just a little bit of faith, but they knew something about Jesus. They called him Jesus, they called him Master, and they asked for mercy. So I think you're right. I think they had to have some amount of faith that he could, at least they had to believe that he could heal them of their physical leprosy, right? At the very least. And they also believed that they didn't deserve it, because they asked for mercy. They must have thought that they didn't deserve it, because mercy means that God gives us what we don't deserve. Well, how did Jesus respond? Right here. So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go, show yourselves to the priests," right? The religious authorities. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. So there, what did they have to believe before they went? Because they weren't cleansed right away, it says. What did they have to believe? Yes, but more specifically. Not that they had to believe that God could heal them. Soraya.
They had to believe that the priest would not be mean to them.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yep, they had to believe that the priest would not be mean to them, she said. Yeah, because if they went up to the priest and they still had leprosy, I don't think the priest would be very happy, right? And they still had leprosy. It doesn't seem like they got cured of their leprosy right away when they first cried out, "Lord, have mercy on us." Or even after Jesus started talking, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." Well, they looked at themselves. Well, they must. If I had leprosy and Jesus told me that, I'd be looking at myself. How can I show myself to the priest looking like this? Well, they had to believe that even though it didn't happen right away, that something was going to happen. That they would go to the priest, and that Jesus was going to do something. That they could obey Jesus, and that would be the right thing to do, even if it didn't make sense. That seems like it would be even harder to believe than to believe that Mr. Nate would give you a piece of candy for doing something that you don't know what it is. Right? That seems like it would be pretty hard to believe. But they did it, and they went, and as they went, they were what?
Cleansed.
Harry?
Cleansed.
That's okay. They were cleansed. You're right. So, then what happened? One of them, when he saw that he was healed, so they had a lot to think about. They had, like, okay, we got to go all the way to where the priest is. We got to First, we got to see if we're actually getting cleansed here, because right now this leprosy is not going away. But then as they went, it says, as they went, they were cleansed. And then they were probably thinking, okay, now we got to go to the priest. But one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice, he glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he wasn't a Samaritan. So here's a picture of what an artist thought that guy might have looked like. So the other guys, they had a lot to think about. They were like, wow, we've been lepers and now we're cleansed. We got to get to the priest. There's all this stuff going on. They're probably talking to each other and showing each other how they were healed. One of them says, came back and gave thanks. One man came back to say thank you. It's Thanksgiving this week, isn't it?
Yes.
He fell down on his face and his feet, giving thanks, it says. In verse 16, if you have your Bibles open. It's right after he saw that he was healed. You know, sometimes we get healed of things, and sometimes we have things happen to us, and we forget to give thanks, don't we? I, even as a grown-up, I often do. In fact, every day, I can think about something that I forgot to say thank you about. So what had to happen for him to remember to say thank you? What had to happen before he remembered to say thank you? I'm going to keep going here. It says that he returned with a loud voice and glorified God. So first of all, it says he saw that he was healed. Okay, so I think everybody in that group saw that they were healed. That has to happen before you say thank you, right? Sometimes we get blessed and we don't even know. We don't even think about it, right? So simply observing the blessing that God has blessed us with is the first step, right? But it also says after he saw that he was healed, the others probably saw that too. It would be pretty hard not to notice if you had leprosy and got cleansed, right? Because that really icky, awful disease was healed. It got better. Those other men must have had some amount of faith in order for their leprosy to be cleansed. And they noticed when it was cleansed. Well, this man, he saw that he was healed. Then he returned. So that had to take some effort. I don't know how far away he was when he saw that he was healed, but he decided to come back to the Lord Jesus. And he gave thanks. And he didn't just say, thank you, Lord. Go back so that nobody could hear him. He wasn't shy about it. It says he did it with a loud voice. Thank you, Lord. That's a good thing to do, isn't it? It's a good thing to say thank you and to glorify the Lord without being shy. We don't want to be shy about praising the Lord. Do we? When we sing thank you, it's good to sing. Sometimes it's good to turn up the volume when we sing thank you. Unless your parents tell you not to. There's a time and a place for that. So, it says he fell down on his face. So he also had a posture of prayer. There's two postures of prayer in the Bible. Sometimes people lift up folded hands. Sometimes they get down on their knees. The psalmists write, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. While this man was glorifying God, he got down on his knees and he said thank you to the Lord. There's lots of things we can learn. Well, the other thing that it says is that he was a Samaritan. One of the least expected. The Jews did not like Samaritans. In fact, Jesus called him a foreigner in verse 18. Jesus answered, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except for this foreigner? Well, he was the only one who was thoughtful enough to think about. And sometimes when we get to the point where we're thinking about what God has done for us, we observe it, right? We think about, wow, the Lord provided me with
breakfast this morning. Did I ever say thank you? Usually we do at mealtime, right? Because we have a habit, most of us, I think, of giving thanks for the food, right? Sometimes we just say the words and we don't express thanks in our hearts to the Lord. Or maybe sometimes, I know when I was a boy and sometimes even as a grown-up, I don't always pay attention when somebody's giving thanks for the food. And so then I have to quietly in my heart say thank you again to the Lord because I wasn't paying attention to whoever was leading in the prayer. It's good to have thankful hearts. But one of the things that I was thinking about when I read this story was he fell down on his face to the ground and glorified God. You know, if you have a lifestyle that moves you to the point that you are willing to get down on the ground, literally, and glorify God, perhaps that will lead you to say thank you for more things than what you did before you did that. Speaking to everyone, I think this man, because he had a heart that wanted to glorify God and that moved him physically and spiritually to the point where he was willing to kneel down before the Lord Jesus, that brought him to the point where he was able to genuinely, from the heart, thank the Lord for what he did. That was the easy part, right? It was being prepared in his heart to be willing to say a simple thank you. That was the harder part.
And our final questions for today. You guys are all such good listeners. Please, because you want candy, right? Or are you good listeners because you think turning your eyes on Jesus is more important than turning your eyes on candy? Something to think about, isn't it?
Jesus.
Well, what do we learn from the man who said thank you?
I don't want it. I don't need it.
What do we learn from the man who said thank you? Let's think about these questions. I know you guys all have ideas. Put your hands down. Just think about it. We're going to look at these questions one by one. What made him remember to say thank you? We talked about that, right? What made him remember? He thought about what God did for him and he glorified God, right? Those are two things. There's probably more. Next question, in what way did he thank Jesus? What was his body position? Harry.
He was
kneeling on the ground, yep, and he was doing it in a way that glorified God. What did Jesus say about it? Ellie. Yes. And I think that perhaps he got even more healing than the rest of them is my thought on him. Perhaps he was forgiven of, he had more mercy, and perhaps was saved, had saving faith. We don't really know all the details there, but because he was already healed of leprosy, and Jesus said, your faith has made you well, it seems like maybe the Lord was talking about something more than just being healed of leprosy there. So he got an extra blessing for coming back and saying thank you. So that's the answer to the next question. What blessing did he receive that the others didn't? Maybe more than one. What can you do to prepare yourself to give thanks? Elise, what do you think?
You think about it in your heart first.
Very good. Very good. James, what were you going to say?
Think about it in your brain.
Yep, think about it in your brain. Think about it in your heart. Observe what God has done. So if we all thought about things that we did today or that happened to us today, is there anything that you should say thank you about that you did today? You don't have to tell me. Because sometimes other people do things for us, but it's even more important to recognize what comes from God and to say thank you to God. It's important to say thank you to other people too. Oh my goodness, you are the first one. I was wondering if anybody would say that. But you know what? I will say that this is not a very important thing to say thank you for. It's good to say thank you. I'm glad you said that, Dan. I'm really glad you said that. But some people didn't even come up right away because they probably thought, well, I don't know if the result or the prize is really worth the risk here. There's candy up there, but I don't know. Mr. Nate, he's up there. He says that we have to do something. We don't even know what it is. And I think I'm just going to wait this one out and see. Some of you guys decided you didn't want to believe me. But you know what? The Lord Jesus, those who believed him in this story, I'm pretty sure they were glad they did, right? Because they got healed of leprosy. And one man got healed of even more. Seems like he got healed of the deadly disease of sin, perhaps. And others, many others who believed in the Lord, got healed of the deadly disease of sin. There's lots of things to thank the Lord for. And remember when we looked at that picture, we talked about Hansen's syndrome or Hansen's sickness and leprosy and how sometimes pain is a good thing because it communicates with you. Well, sometimes in your life, you might experience things that are painful and hard. And if you haven't, then you will when you get older. But most of you probably, even at a young age, have experienced painful things. Did you think that you should give thanks to the Lord for the painful things? Do you think you should? The Bible actually says that you should. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, in everything it says, give thanks. Because sometimes God can teach us important lessons even through pain. Pain is a gift from the Lord, and even Jesus experienced a lot of pain, didn't he? And it brought great blessing to each of us. Let's close in prayer. Lord, we thank you for the messages of your word that remind us to have thankful hearts and that even teach us how to remember to have thankful hearts, because we oftentimes forget, Lord, to be thankful and to give thanks. We pray that you'd help us to do things that put our hearts in the right place so that we remember to say thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
To the person who was the most quiet, I will give this to you later. Thank you for being good listeners, all of you.
Thank you.